Amen. Hey, we're starting a new sermon series. How many liked the last one? Did you like the last one? I liked the last one. I enjoyed the last one. Boy, oh boy. I tell you, it was fun. But now we're going to do a summer blockbuster series. Summer blockbusters. You know what that means? I'm going to pick some of my favorite stories in the Word of God, and we're going to find Jesus in there, and we're going to apply it to right now, and you're going to be blessed. You're going to be touched. You're going to be challenged, and you're going to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen? So these are blockbusters. It's a blockbuster summer. So we're going to talk about stories in the Word of God, stories that still speak. Do you see that right underneath there? It says stories that still speak. Amen? Amen. How many got favorite stories in the Bible? Anyway, who's got a favorite story? Anybody got one? Shout it out. Please, all at once. That was awful. How many have read your Bible? George is having a lot of fun at our expense. Amen. There are stories in the Bible that still speak. So we're going to go through some stories and have some fun. All right. So I'm going to start with this story. I'm going to start with, it's just a whale of a story. I'm going to start with Jonah. Say Jonah. We're going to go through the whole book of Jonah. Are you excited about that? It's not a very big book. So chill out, relax. All right. All right. Jonah 1. You ready? Jonah 1, 1 and 2. The Lord gave this message to Jonah. Now, if you look in your Bible, Jonah was a prophet in the time, I think it was Jeroboam the second, but he was prophesying, he was a real guy, he prophesied, found another place in the Bible too. Even Jesus referred to Jonah. So this is that Jonah, that guy. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and he said, get up and go to the great city. Say great city. Three times in this book, it talks about the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked its people are. Can I get an amen? I want you to go to Nineveh. I mean, Nineveh was a crazy, crazy city. These were the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were people who just, they would go, you know, go attack and loot and steal everything from people. They were violent, horrible people. Everybody was terrified of them. And Nineveh was like the capital cities where the king of the Assyrians were. And they were just brutes, evil brutes. I mean, they would take people and they would skin people alive. And then they would hang their skins on the city gates. They would cut off people's heads and then they would make a high totem pole all made of heads. They did just ridiculous, crazy, horrible things. And they were very, very cruel to the people of Israel and caused them a great deal of harm. So they did not like them. Jonah did not like the Assyrians. Jonah did not like the city of Nineveh. Have you got anybody you don't like? Have you got a group of people you don't like? You got a group of people, if God said, go preach to them, announce my judgment against them. How many would say, yeah, I want to go judge them? But Jonah, receiving that message, he didn't go preach judgment to Nineveh. He decided to take a funny turn. So a blockbuster, every blockbuster asks a question. So Indiana Jones, I'm a little older. So Indiana Jones, that's where I am. Amen. Who's in Indiana Jones? Yeah. All right. Indiana Jones, can he find the treasure? So you get caught up in the whole quest. Will Luke, you know, finally deal with Darth Vader? And then we found out later, Luke, I am your father. And that was a creepy turn. Was that not a bit weird? I mean, that was strange. Who saw that coming? I don't know. My wife sees a lot of things. I knew that. I'm sure you did. You know, but the Avengers, are they going to save the world? I don't watch Avengers. Who watches Avengers shows and superhero shows? Get over yourself. I just can't take somebody with super, you know, human abilities and all the rest of us average people. I look at that and say, dude, I'm superhuman. Dude, I can change the world. You're a phony. You're a fake. And then like Superman, you know, he's fighting the evil people trying to take over the planet. And in their fight, they like blow up a whole city. Like things are blowing up. Buses are blowing up. Whole city blocks are going, you're not a superhero. You're super careless. Look at the mess you're making. I just can't figure that out. You know, I don't want you saving me. You're a butthead. Did I say butthead? Are you allowed to say butthead in church? Anyway, I don't get those films. I don't get no joy out of it because none of them got a thing on me. I mean, not a thing. I'm the hero in my story. You should be the hero in your story because you're awesome. So Jonah, the book asks, you know, will God destroy Nineveh? Because it starts right off there that go and tell these people that, you know, declare my judgment over them. So how many like a spoiler? I'm going to spoil the whole story right at the start. You ready? And I ruin the whole thing. I'm going to tell you how the movie ends before we even get into it. You ready? Jonah 4 verse 2 says, that is why I ran away to Tarshish. So we're going to find out that when Jonah gets called to go to Nineveh, instead of going to Nineveh, he books a ticket to the opposite direction, and he's going as far away as he can from Nineveh. God says go, and Jonah says no. God says go, and Jonah says no. God says give, and the people say yes. Sorry, I just threw that in there. But here it is. Here it is. Here's the whole background. Here's what happened behind the scenes. He's talking to God. God frees Nineveh, delivers Nineveh. Nineveh comes to the Lord. They honor him. They declare that we love you, Lord, the God of Jonah, the God of all heaven. They turn to the Lord and see what Jonah says is, you see what you did here? I knew it. I knew that you would redeem the people that I hate. I knew that you would bless and you would bring into this community those people that we can't stand, those people that I think are vile and just disgusting. I knew you would be good to them. I didn't go not because I was afraid of them. I didn't go because they're a horrible people. I mean, no, not Nineveh. I didn't go because I didn't want you to save them. That's why I ran away to Tarshish, because here's what I knew. I knew that you are a merciful God, a compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. When you told me to go set those wicked people free, I said, not today. Let them burn. Let them die, those filthy things. That's what was going on here. That's what was going on. You were eager to turn back. You were eager to turn back from destroying people. And I was not about to go be the good news to the people I can't stand. Are you guys still here? The lights are really strong. So, you know, grunt if you can. Anybody got a Nineveh? Anybody got a little group of people that you don't like? Yeah? You need to get saved. Then there's the people who don't like the people who don't like the people. So you don't like the people who don't like the people. So you need to get saved too. Because you know, God still likes the people even who don't like the people. Even the people who don't like the people that you think the people should like, those people that don't like the people, he likes the people that don't like the people. Because you know, there's not a single people. Even if you abhor them because of their lack of proper behavior as far as you're concerned, your abhorring of them not behaving the way that you think they should behave, God still loves them. Did anybody follow that? Have you ever stood in front of a bigot and said, oh my God, he loves you? He really does. He also loves the people who can't stand bigots. He also loves the people who keep on calling out bigots like it's your job. I forgot what love was supposed to do. What are we supposed to do with our enemies again? Help remind me. Really? Really? Wow. I thought on Facebook, you're just supposed to call everybody out who you don't like. Anyways, are you tracking with me? Let's get into the story. It's a blockbuster. Sorry that I blew the ending already. All right. God loves this city. He's nuts about London. He is crazy about the city, London. He wants to do great things. How many are declaring just fabulous things over London? Just waking up every day and just prophesying life and power. Woo! City of God! Every single day. He loves the city, and his priority is lost stuff. His priority is lost people. His priority is to restore everything that's broken. And that's who we are. If you walk in, you look at the sign, you know what it says in the sign? How many know what it says right under Impact Church? Thank you. Transforming lives. We are Impact Church, and we are here transforming lives to impact your world. I expected a little more participation there, Stephen. We're going to have a real strong vision Sunday just to catch everybody up on what we're doing around here. All right. Transforming lives. to impact their world. Amen. We're not just transforming you. We're transforming you so that you can become the agent of change and restoration and reconciliation and power and healing and redemption to the world that you live in. We want to loose you on your world and bring the transformation that's on you to others. Can I get an amen? So God moves when we move. God moves when we move. Three quick observations. God will not do your part. He will not do our part. God will not do our part. There is a part. We have a part to play right now. We really do. And if we keep on begging God to do our part, our prayers are useless because God said it's your part. God will not do your part. So we got to know what our part is. And our part is natural. We're supposed to do the natural stuff. Lay your hands on the sick. Lord, heal the sick. Get them all. Heal everybody. Lord, heal them. You do it. No, you do it. It's your turn. You see, God's not going to do your part, and God has given you the natural part, the responsibility, and our part is natural, and our part is first. Say first. So if you want to see the God part come into manifestation, you got to do the man part first. You got to do the natural part first. Say thank you, Pastor. I'd like to see more God stuff in my life. Well, you first. You first. God needs you. You need God, but God needs you, and London needs you to know that it's your turn. Just to give you scripture, you ready? I need a verse for that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then afterward, the spiritual. How many are okay with that? Write that down, take a picture, do something. But if you want the spiritual, you want the super to get on the natural has to do something first. And so you got to do the man-sized job, and you got to participate and get it done. So listen, we are not a church in London. I know we are in London, but that's not us. Oh, you guys are Impact Church. You're a church in London. Yes, we are, but that's not who we are. We're not just a church in London. Also, we're not a church of London. Oh, Impact Church, you're one of those churches of London. No, we're not just a church of London. We're not a church against London. A lot of churches, they think their job is to be against London. We're against every evil thing that happens in the city. We stand against all these foul things. Lord, we forgive all these terrible sinners. We stand against them in the name. We're not a church against London. Thank you. Let me say it again. We are not a church against London. Just say amen, even if you don't know why. We are not a church against London. Oh, thank you. True. All right. So we are a church for London. We are a church for London. We are in London for London. We are here for London. We are here as a church to transform the city. It's not about us. Well, let's pray that we get the right politicians in. Let's pray that we get a few good people who can change our city. You don't have to. It's your job. You can do more to change the city than the mayor. You can. You have authority to call things. You have authority to bind things. You have authority to loose things. And we don't know who we are. We don't function properly, and we don't do our job very well. But we are here. We are a church for London. Say amen. Back to Jonah. Jonah, it's about city taking. It's a powerful transformations of dark areas. It's what God can do. Can God save Nineveh? Can he? Can he? Yes, he can. Can God save London? Totally deliver it, every part of it. North, south, east, west, south, everything. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Jonah 1, 3, and 4. But Jonah got up and he went the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port in Joppa, and there he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. Tarshish is the exact other way, down towards Spain. He decided to take a trip on the Spanish Riviera. He bought a ticket. Say, bought a ticket. He bought a ticket. He was running from God, and he bought a ticket. I bought a ticket. He bought a ticket to get out of town, and he went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord, sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord, hallelujah, but the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea. Another slide. You ready for this one? Everything and everyone honors God's voice except Jonah. You'll see that all through this passage, all through the book of Jonah. You'll find out that everyone and everything seems to honor and respond to the voice of the Lord except Jonah. All of creation surrenders to his voice, but you and I can say no. You and I can say no. God is a big yes for London. He's a big yes on London. He wants to transform London. He wants to fully deliver it. He wants his glory to fill it. God has already declared his intention for London, his glory to fill London, the knowledge of it as the waters cover the sea. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? When you hear that word, what are you going to do? You going to buy a ticket to Beyonce? George thought that was funny. I heard a never over there, never. I couldn't even tell you a Beyonce song. I'm sorry. Not amen. Oh, my goodness. George, I don't know, man. Bought a ticket to Beyonce. What are you talking about, Pastor? You know, there's stuff that we have to be committed to right now. There's things that God wants to do, and he's chosen us to do it. But if you're running and buying tickets everywhere and doing everything except paying full attention to the purpose of God in your life, you're missing the whole point of what God called you to do. And you might as well just be like Jonah and you're buying a ticket to Tarshish. This is fun preaching right here, Pastor. Amen. Can I get an amen from the back row? A strong amen from the back row. All right. You can say no. We say no. Now, another little picture here, right here. This for you people that are too young and don't know. How many know what that is? It's a Garmin. It's not just a GPS. It's because we still got GPS. I got GPS on my phone. I don't need those anymore, but I went to California, Cheryl and I, we had to travel all around California. When I rented the car, they said, do you want a Garmin? I went, nah, I'm good. I got a fabulous sense of direction. My wife said, we'll take one. You know why they put a woman on the space shuttle? So if they got lost, somebody would ask for directions. You know, well, Father, thank you for coming. Lord bless you. That's a Garmin. And when we got back, my wife and I were talking about the Garmin, and Cheryl was telling my mom how often I would not listen to the Garmin. And every time I stopped listening, and I went, you know what? I'm pretty sure this is a better way. And then we would end up in some funny neighborhoods, and Cheryl would go, why don't you just listen to the Garmin? But every time I stopped listening to the Garmin, it would keep on saying this one word, recalculating. And after a while, I just wanted, well, you just shut up. And I thought it was getting a little more terse every time. I was like, recalculating. That's easy over there. So my mom just loved that. And my mom always also enjoyed telling me what to do. So for Christmas that year, my mom got me a Garmin. And I was trying to change the voice from the lady's voice to Homer Simpson's voice. Somehow, because I just had too many ladies in my life just telling me things. Wow. How many think I should stop digging? Garmin. Anyways, I mean, you got direction. But, you know, the beautiful thing is with God, if you decide that I'm going to buy a ticket and go somewhere else, you're never out of his sight and you're never out of his grip. And the Holy Spirit's going to say to you boldly and clearly, recalculating. And sometimes you know what recalculating looks like? And a powerful, violent wind came from the Lord. And you're rebuking the devil, and it's not the devil. It's God's love. Because he's absolutely committed to you, and he's committed to his call in your life. Recalculating. So here comes the storm. Here comes the storm. So Jonah bought a ticket. Running has a cover charge. If you're running, running has a cover charge. The ride away from God is never free. Running doesn't change your destination, but it can bring turbulence to your journey. Amen. I thought we were a grace church. I thought there was no violent winds from God. We are a grace church. That's why there's violent winds from God. Because God is absolutely committed to bringing his purpose clearly into your life. Grace teaches us to say no to saying no. Grace teaches us to stop living ungodly ways and to live upright in this present age. And because grace is the vehicle that does that, we believe that. And this is a story about the grace of God that I would have quit on this bigoted prophet. I would have quit on this racist moron. But you know what? God doesn't. God's going to walk through it with you. He's going to love you, even if it means I got to send a violent wind. Amen. I want you to also know that sometimes your disobedience doesn't just affect you. Hello? How many know that your disobedience often has ripples that affect other people? There was all kinds of lovely people on this trip. They'd taken the cruise to Joppa, the cruise in the Mediterranean, and then one doughhead who, whoa, there's a nasty storm going on. And where is he? He's sleeping. Like, if these are people who understand the sea. They understand this is not a natural storm. Somebody has ticked off God because this is something very uncommon. What we're seeing here is deadly. Somebody has screwed up. They're looking around. Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Then they find a guy down below. The boat's flying up and down everywhere, and he's like, sleeping. Woke him up, said, what's going on? He said, it's probably me. I'm disobeying God. Then they said, well, let's be sure. And then they cast lots, and sure, it fell on him. They said, what did you do? And they told him the whole story. God wanted me to go preach to these people, but I know he's a good God. He'd probably forgive the people I hate. So I said, skip it. I'm not doing that. So I decided to go on vacation. And here we are. And they say, you're going to have to throw me overboard. No, we don't want to do that. So this says they tried to row. They fought the storm. They fought with everything. They were trying to get this disobedient prophet back to the shoreline. They were doing everything they could. They were fighting with that whole situation. They were trying to bring peace and grace into that guy's experience. But Jonah said, there's nothing you can do. The only way to deal with this is you're going to have to throw me overboard. So what'd they do? They threw him overboard and said, Lord, forgive us if that was bad. But boom, immediately there was peace. So the question is, who do we need to throw off the bus today? Turn and look at your neighbor and say, isn't he a cute pastor? And boy, are we having too much fun? All right. Now the Lord arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is a whale of a story right here. So a big fish swallowed Jonah, and he was there. And now listen, it's a nasty storm. God sends a storm. He gets thrown in the ocean. He's caught. He says, I'm going down, seaweed, the whole big mess. And all of a sudden, he gets gulped. I got a video for you. Can I show that video right now? Let me show you a video. How many need a video break? How many say, this is too much going on, Pastor? Give me a video break. All right. Going to give you a video break. Can we get that, Chantel? Can we pull it up? You ready?
Hey. Ya, vente, vente. Tranquilo,
Can we show that again? Can we show that again? How many would like to see that again? How many feel the fear of the Lord right now? Hey. Who wants to come to Jesus right now? How many want to see that again? One more time. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One more time. Yum. Okay. All right. Thank you. Say thank you, Chantel. That was good right there. Amen. There's several. You can go on the internet. You'll find several places where whales just full one gulp. Just most of them are good because the people got loose. The whale spit them back out. But pretty amazing, hey? Yeah. You know, there was a little girl, a little picture here for you. Jonah got into the whale and says, you are here. There's a little picture. It's coming up right now. It's right there. Oh, there it is. Jonah's in the whale. Now, the whale, the storm, all these things, they're not judgment for you. They're the grace of God. You getting swallowed by a whale is the grace of God. Some of you right now feel like you're in a whale, and it's not judgment. It's circumstances trying to get you to get back on track with God. Sometimes that happens. There was a little girl, they had an art class, and said, I want you to paint, and just paint anything you like. I just want to see your artistic ability. Just paint anything you like, and I just want to see what level your skills are at. So teacher was going around the room looking at what people were doing, and comes to this little girl and says, what are you painting there? And she said, I'm painting Jonah and the whale. And she said, well, you don't really believe that story is true. You don't believe that Jonah got swallowed by a whale, do you? I mean, come on. That's can't be a real story. And she said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And she said, oh, I mean, what if Jonah's not in heaven? He said, well, then you can ask him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. All right. Jonah 2. We're getting there. There's only four chapters, and you guys got nowhere to go, eh? So we're good. All right. So, oops, I got people texting me. Please stop. Jonah 2, verses 9 and 10. But I will sacrifice to you. The whole chapter is about a prayer. Jonah gets swallowed by this sea animal, monster, whatever it is. He's there in the two-bedroom condo in the belly of a whale. And here he is. He offers sacrifices. He said, I will sing praises to you. I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from you alone. You are Lord alone then. Wouldn't you love to? Who's going to the beach today? Who's already going to the beach? Couple people. Who? Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, you know, you ever been to the beach? And imagine this, you're at the beach and all of a sudden a whale pops up and goes, and out comes a disobedient prophet, you know? So what we do know from the word of God is that disobedient prophets make whales sick. Okay, so write that down if you're taking notes. All right, but spit him, projected him onto the beach. All right, sometimes what swallows you is actually what saves you. Sometimes that's deep, Pastor. Sometimes what swallows you is actually what saves you. Your deepest place may be your clearest place, the place where you're actually ready to pay attention. Sometimes that happens. Just a little drop over to Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 21 and 23. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each and every morning. You've heard me say this before. Some of you may have heard it, my testimony on Wednesday night, but I went through a bad experience in my life. I successfully really screwed up. I had to go to court several times, got thrown in jail a few times, nothing serious. I got out each time. God was gracious. The worst of the charges did get thrown out, which thank God for, and he was very gracious to me. But I lost my job. I lost my license. I woke up one day, and I said, now I got to go find another job and do something. My life is really screwed up. I owe the lawyer a bunch of money. I got a bunch of fines. I'm just like, what am I going to do? And my dad's Bible was on the coffee table, and I had to move back in with my parents. It was that bad. So, but I opened up my dad's Bible, and I went to the book of Lamentations. You know why I went there? Because I looked, and I said, yeah, you know what? That's how I feel right now. I feel Lamentations, so I think life sucks. So I went to Lamentations, and I started reading, and I went, oh, my goodness, these people are really depressed, and it wasn't helping me at all. But then I went all the way through, and I got to write this passage here when I got to chapter 3. It literally said, but why does a young man complain for being punished for his ways? And I went, well, wow, I feel like complaining, though. Circumstances just ain't good. I mean, I know I sowed all of this nasty harvest I'm walking in right now, but I thought you were gracious and you were kind. And sure enough, I got midway through that, and this is what it said. I dare to have hope, and remember this, that your faithful love, Lord, it never ends. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly there. It could have been absolutely audible because it was as clear as ever. He said, Carl, where you are is because of the stuff you've done. And he said, but this will all shift and this will all change. And this harvest will be overtaken with the harvest of righteousness. If you just trust me and lean into my faithfulness, I'll change everything. And you will not recognize yourself in a year. That's what he said to me. He said, you will not recognize yourself in a year. And then I was standing there. It was a year later. It was right around Christmas time. And I'm there looking into a room. I heard people laughing in the other room, wanted to see what was going on. So I leaned between the heads of my two uncles, both Paul. Oh, actually, no, it was Paul and Ken. And I leaned to see what they were laughing at. And just when I leaned there, they didn't know I was there. And Ken turned around to Paul and he says, gosh, it's amazing what's happened with Carly. That's what they called me. They called me Carly. You know, from a year ago, I don't even recognize that kid. And the Lord said, I told you. And the Lord was faithful to me. The Lord was faithful to me. And you know, I went through a storm. I created that storm and some nasty things took place. But you know what? God was faithful. And he didn't just bring me out of that storm. He restored things to me that were so incredible. Like literally a year after that, I was in a church basement and Cheryl walked up to me and said, we should give it a go. I was like, what, the chocolate dip or the maple dip? Or there was donuts. She said, you and me. And I was like, Lord have mercy. She asked me out. Isn't that amazing? God literally blessed my life from one end to the other and did great stuff. Okay, I got to move on. Say, move on, Pastor. We're going to go really fast. And you're going to hear this. You're going to be blessed. All right. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. You know what? When you get spit out on the beach, it's not like, so you're not going to send me that call. You're going to change what you want me to do, right? No. I mean, same assignment. So the Lord spoke to him and says, go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message that I have given. So it's a real simple sermon. He goes to Nineveh. It's a 3-day walk, a big, big, big city, 3-day walk to preach. He walks through there. He preaches and he says, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. What a great sermon, eh? I went to church on Sunday and here's the sermon. 40 days from now and you're all going to die. That was his sermon. I mean, that was it. You'd think, wow, that was a world-changing, inspiring sermon. Just want to show you another picture. A lot of commercial breaks in the sermon. All right. How many of that helped you? That's our dog, Coco. Now, the reason I'm showing you Coco is because these people, when they heard that 8-word message, they actually repented. They changed their minds. They turned to God. And the king said, nobody is eating and nobody is drinking, not even your pets. Not even your cattle, not even your herds. I mean, I want you to put sackcloth on all your animals. I want you to wear sackcloth. There's no eating, no drinking. I immediately thought of Coco because Coco wakes up in the morning and she immediately wants to eat. And if I don't feed her, she's just staring at me going, and if I don't feed her, she's going to torment me. And I was thinking, going, I could not imagine not feeding her and then trying to wrap her in some sackcloth. It would be murder. I mean, I would repent and turn to God right away because I could not take that. But anyways, the whole city, all of them, even their animals, even everything in them, they all turned to God. Jonah 4, 1-5. Say amen. And we're all the way to chapter 4. Say amen. All right. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah. He became very angry. The change of plans is God did not destroy them. In fact, these people, instead of being mad and angry at Jonah, they all turned to God. They imagine the whole city turned to God and Jonah is greatly displeased. Wow, he's still upset about this. You got to understand, this guy was not anointed to preach freedom and healing in life. He wanted his audience to die. Can you imagine you want your audience to die? They all repent. You're all going to come to Jesus? Oh. He complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, full of unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me. Kill me now. I can't believe the people I hate you're going to show mercy to. Kill me now. Is this guy a basket case or what? Kill me now. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Did you hear who just came to Jesus? How do you want to go to heaven with people like that? I've heard people say crazy things like that. Did you know that Jeffrey Dahmer accepted Jesus, got baptized? He might live next to you in heaven. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went to the east side of the city and he made a shelter. Say, he made a shelter. He made a shelter and he sat down and he wanted to watch and see what was really going to happen. So he sat under his shelter and he waited to see what would happen to the city. All right. Then God said to Jonah, verse 9, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? See, what he does is Jonah built a shelter. Say, Jonah built a shelter. He's sitting down under his little shelter. And then what God does is God comes alongside of his little pity party and he maximizes it. He adds to it. He renovates it. He adds some beautiful shade features. It's the shade room. He adds some beautiful features to his little place where he's going to sit and watch and grump and bicker and complain and call everybody else out. But God puts a beautiful plant there and Jonah's, I like this plant. I like the way it brings cool. It's so nice. It's so lovely. So God provides a plant and Jonah's excited about the plant. But then God provides a worm and the worm eats the plant. The plant dies. And then God sends a nasty heat and a wind. And all of a sudden Jonah's like, Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to become angry because the plant died? And Jonah said, yes. Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came up quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention the animals. God loves animals. God loves Coco. Coco's going to heaven. It's a true story. He says, look, I mean, you're ticked off about a plant, but you're not ticked off that I... You're ticked off about a plant, but you still, you're mad about a plant and like you're not excited about these people being set free. We get all upset about a bunch of funny little things in our lives. We get tied up in our own little selfish thing. We get upset because I was upset because they advertised at Metro that they had nice, good Australian New Yorks at $8.88 a pound. And every time I went, they didn't have any. I went to several. Every time I went, they were out of them. I said, you cannot advertise this stuff and never have it. I mean, I'm not buying another thing because I came for this. And if you don't have it, I'm not buying milk. I'm not buying anything else. You're not sucking me in to come here and buy stuff when you put out these false leaders. You gotta have the steaks in the building. Amen. And by the way, Jesus loves you. It's amazing the things I get freaked out about. Are you paying enough attention to God's purpose and call and claims on your life? Are you so dumbed down and, you know, so selfish with all the other little things in your world? I was pretty depressed. Canada lost the World Cup. I thought they should have won that game. I thought they played well enough to do it. I think there's been a lot of really stupid calls in the World Cup. It's really upsetting. We almost didn't come to church today. It's amazing the stupid things that compete with God's purpose in our lives. Hello, Pastor. What are you doing? I'm preaching on Jonah. It's a blockbuster summer. That's what we're doing. All right. Matthew chapter 12, 41. Jesus said about Jonah. Here's what he said. He said, someone greater than Jonah is here. Jonah ran. Jesus came willingly. Jonah slept because he didn't care. Jesus slept because he trusted. Jonah was thrown into the sea because of his own selfishness. Jesus walked into death because he walked into death because of our death. Jonah spent 3 days in a fish. Jesus spent 3 days in a tomb. Jonah came out reluctantly. Jesus came out triumphantly. Jonah hated his enemies. Jesus died for his. That's why Jesus said to them, listen, you people are a bunch of religious bigots. And I'm telling you, Nineveh is going to rise up in the last days and condemn you. Because I tell you, someone greater than Jonah is standing in front of you right now. Going to close harsh. Hebrews 13:12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus was dragged. Jonah went outside the gate and set up a little shelter to see if God would judge the people. Jesus was dragged out bleeding and broken, and he died outside the city so that he could redeem us. The greatest miracle in Jonah wasn't surviving 3 days in a fish. It wasn't even the city repenting. It wasn't the plant, the worm, or the wind. It was that God never gave up on Jonah. Thank God. Jonah, are you here today? Jonah, I thought I saw you just a second ago. Jonah, are you here? Jonah? I think some of us have been buying tickets going the wrong way. I think there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us sometimes. Is that true? Thank God he won't ever give up on me either. Thank God he's committed to me and he's committed to his purpose in my life. I got three more slides and I have to give them to you or else I would go home and feel sad. This is a story of God transforming the heart of a religious, heartless, bigoted prophet. And this is God's invitation to you to invade our city with his graciousness, his mercy, and his kindness. That's why I come to church on Sunday. That's why I'm a part of this community. That's why every single day I'm praying and believing this is a city of God. That's why I live every day with deep intention, not because I'm paid to do it. Well, you're the pastor. Oh, trust me, I'd rather deliver pizzas lots of times. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. Right here in London, through southwestern Ontario, throughout Canada, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we're here for. That's why the Holy Spirit has a claim on your life, is so that we can manifest his kingdom right now to every single person we run into. Are you ready? The last slide, very last slide, and I am finished. And the whale will come and swallow me up. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Hollywood likes a happy ending, but Jonah ends with a question. Shouldn't I feel sorry about such a great city? That's how the book ends. It ends with those words. God is saying, shouldn't I feel sorry about such a great city? God's talking to you right now through Jonah. He's trying to bring an application today. He's trying to talk about what he spoke to you. Has anybody had God speak something to you and you said no? Is God speaking to you right now and you're saying no? Wow. I don't usually like preaching these kind of sermons. You know, there's something about being faithful, something about faithfulness being manifest in your life. And I'm talking to the summer crowd, so like you are the faithful people. Something about, shouldn't I feel sorry for the city of London? The word sorry means, shouldn't I have compassion? Shouldn't I deeply, deeply be pained for the hurts and the needs in the city? Come on, stand up with me. Wow, Pastor. How many enjoyed that sermon?